That's good. I had someone say to me this week, this law and grace, as I study the quarterly and I study other things, I get very confused on it. Law and grace. This is what Galatians is all about. What is the tie-in between law and faith, or law and grace? A lot of good Christians say at the cross that all law was done away with. The Jewish Sabbath is done away with, and that's why we keep Sunday. This is the book that they base a lot of that on. There are many Seventh-day Adventists who will argue that the only law in Galatians that's done away with was what law? The ceremonial law. Well, in 1888, there were two gentlemen by the name of Wagner and Jones that presented to the Minneapolis Seventh-day Adventist General Conference that it was all law, both the ceremonial and the moral, that Paul is talking about in the book of Galatians. And the good General Conference brethren went to pieces on that because they couldn't believe it. We're told that their attitude was so bad that if Jesus himself would have presented that opinion at that conference, that their hatred would have been the same. Ellen White came out and made a very bold statement that said, the law in Galatians is both the ceremonial and the moral law, especially the moral law. And her reward was they asked her to go to Australia and do some writing over there, and she wrote some of her best works while she was in Australia, Steps to Christ. Hello, hello. How are y'all doing?
Good, good.
Nobody's late today because nobody had any idea what in the heck was going on. So appreciate you being here. Good morning, good morning. Hey man, how you doing?
Good
to see you.
Oh,
just great. How you feeling?
Good.
How was your surgery?
Very good.
Good. All right. Good to have you folks. And so this morning, we want to look at the book of Galatians, chapter 3. And remember that this was one of the pivotal books that changed Luther's perspective on religion and brought about the Protestant Reformation, Galatians and Habakkuk 2:4, changed everything. Now, last week, somebody pointed out to me, who has a quarterly? Good. Look up Tuesday of last week's lesson. The Road to Victory, I think, or of Faith.
Yes, sir.
Okay, look at the bottom where there has a little tie-in. And would you be kind enough to read that very loud? Yes.
Think of something good that is misused. For example, a drug created to treat the disease could be used by some people.
Next one. Let me see the quarterly.
Is that Tuesday?
You said Tuesday, right?
Yes.
This week or last week?
Yeah, this week or last week?
It's Sunday.
Sunday?
Sunday.
Let's see. I told you Tuesday, but I must be wrong. Oh, read this one. I like Tuesdays, but Sunday's better.
Though the law cannot save us, what great benefits does our adherence to it have for us? That is, what practical good have you experienced in your life through obedience to God's law?
Okay. Good morning.
Everything good?
Yes. Very nice chapel.
Well, thank you.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am. All right, read it again. I love interruptions also.
Though the law cannot save us, what great benefits does our adherence to it have for us? That is, what practical good have you experienced in your own life through obedience to God's law?
Okay, that's a good question, so I want to hear your answers. What greatness, what goodness have you got out of having obedience to the Ten Commandments? What's the joy that you've got out of that? I'll come to you later.
Well, I wouldn't be not in jail.
Well, not in jail, that's right. How many of you are rejoicing this morning that you didn't kill somebody? How many of you woke up and said, I didn't kill anybody today? I feel good. Huh? How many feel like, man, I have not been envious of anybody the last week, and that makes me happy? What were you going to say?
Just that it helps us, it protects us. I'm thankful for the protection it provides.
Okay, all right. That's an interesting statement. Charles?
When I was traveling a whole lot and working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, because of the Sabbath and keeping it holy or resting, it did miracles for all aspects of my life.
Okay, so taking a nap on Sabbath did good for you. Taking a nap on Sabbath did good for him. Listen to what he said. He was tired, and the Sabbath was a nap. And he woke up every Sabbath and said, wow, I'm happy today. I get to take a nap. All right, all right. Who else brought, did the light come on? Hey, I must be doing something good. All right, who else had, yes?
Not being conflicted like most of society is these days.
Okay.
The issues of right and wrong.
Good morning. Up. How you doing?
Good to see
Nobody's
you.
Nobody's late today, so appreciate it. All right, not conflicted. Who else has found joy in the Ten Commandments? Every day, just wake up and look at them and read them and just jump up and down.
I know the times that I quit following them, I had a miserable life.
Okay.
It helped when I came back.
Okay. So you feel there is a place for law?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with that. We'll come back to that in a little bit. All right, Galatians. Yes?
The one part of the law, the fourth one, created huge problems for my kids.
Which one is that?
The fourth one.
Huh? Yeah. If you grew up as a strict Adventist, you know, parents do the best they can, but, you know, how many times was the Sabbath the delight as a kid? You know, just all I knew is what you couldn't do. You know, no radio. My parents were very, very strict, nice Adventists, did the best they can, but they took a nap every Sabbath afternoon, and we were told to do nothing. Behave ourselves, see? So, is the Sabbath a delight? Could be or couldn't be. So we want to keep in mind that Paul says anything of faith, does it do away with the law? What did he say? Absolutely not. So we're here this morning to try to figure out what is the function of law versus that of faith. Are they the same? Are they different? Does one do away with the other? Well, Paul has the answer. So let's go to Galatians 3, and let's start with... By the way, if you have a Bible, look up Galatians 3:23, because I'm interested in a specific word in that verse. So, all right, what are you reading from, Ron?
This one is the Good News Bible.
Okay, now this is not a direct interpretation, but that's fine. It'll work.
Galatians 3:23. But before the time for faith came, the law kept us all locked up as prisoners until this coming faith should be revealed.
Okay, well that's now what's his opinion? This is Dr. Taylor. What's his opinion of the law? Makes us prisoners. Well, where's the good part in that? If that's a correct interpretation. All right, who else got the same verse in the different versions? Yes, what version?
Got the New King James.
Okay.
But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed.
Okay, one is a prisoner. Now this one is, we have a guard. How many of y'all have a guard in your life? Des Bryant had a guard. Zeke needs a guard. You see?
I'm a security system.
That's good. That's good. I bet you're hawkish on it too. See? So, one says the law's a prisoner. This one says the law is a guard. All right? Who else has got a different version? Roger. All right, captive under the law.
NIV says we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith was to come. The faith to come was to be revealed.
Okay, locked up. Hey, are these really free will statements? I thought Jesus said, "I came to give you freedom. I came to set you free." And here we're saying the law's prisoner, guard. Who else got a different version? All right, keep going from 323 on.
I'll go to the King James Version then. 324?
Go 23 in the King's and then 24.
Okay. King James Version, Galatians 3:23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster.
Okay. All right, let's stop there. Now, on 24, what do you have? He has schoolmaster.
Tutor.
What?
Tutor.
Tutor. What version?
New King James.
Okay. Anybody else got a different word?
Guardian.
That one has guard. What version? Right, okay. What other version? Anything else? Okay. Now, Paul says that the law was a paididagos. Now, I had, as you all know, a lousy, lousy Greek teacher. I just studied on my own. Learned it myself and just had to bear with him in class. But I do know one thing. What that word means is, in the Greek, very interesting word, and it's absolutely important to get it. A paididagos was a trusted servant or slave. He was generally elderly, been in the family a long time, and he was absolutely trusted by the family. His job was in the morning to take the child to the schoolhouse and see that the child got inside the school. And that's all he did. And then he hung around all day. And then his job was to pick up the child after school and bring him home. Did the slave teach the child anything?
How to get to school.
Huh?
How to get to school.
How to get to school. Did the child get the education from the slave or the servant? Where did he get the education? At the school. And this is what Paul is saying that the law is. The law is our slave or servant. The law is to bring, help us get to what? Pardon?
It says to lead us to Christ.
To lead us to Christ. The law is not the teacher. The law is not what we learn. The law's a prisoner. The law's a servant. The law locks us in. All of these are negative words. Nobody wants to be a prisoner. Nobody wants a guardian. Nobody wants to be locked in. Paul is teaching a bunch of Gentiles about salvation. And the Jewish brethren, meaning well, are coming in and saying, well, if you want to be a Christian, a la be one of God's heirs, a la be like us Jews, you need to get circumcised. We need some proof that you really mean business. Because to the Jew, where was their salvation?
In the law.
And man, did they study that. They knew exactly how to pay 10% tithe, from money to leaves to vegetables to whatever. They knew exactly how to keep the Sabbath. In the Torah, principle number 72, if you go down a river in a canoe, that's Sabbath keeping. If you put a motor on your boat and go down the river, that's Sabbath breaking. That's a joke. There was no speed boats in the Torah. But, hey, didn't make my living being a comedian. You see, the law was their salvation. Now, as Seventh-day Adventists, we have to be careful that we don't fall into that same trap. In 1888, they fell into that trap, big time. It's interesting to see on Facebook, good-meaning people saying, well, everybody knows that the law in Galatians is ceremonial. Well, I don't think that's correct. Even though at one time our church was really hung up on that big time. Paul is saying law. Law itself is simply a servant to bring us to the schoolhouse. To bring us to Jesus Christ. Why are we sometimes uncomfortable with that thought?
Our identity built in that law. 7 days. So we want to make sure we know that that's the right day and that's our focus.
Yep. And the devil being good, the devil being smart, he takes the same passages that we're going to look at today, and people come to the conclusion that we're not under the Ten Commandment law, that that's changed. It's interesting. They don't mind being under 9 of them. It's just the one that they're not real happy with. Did you want to say something, or you just scratch it? Okay. See. But I contend that Paul is talking about all law. What commandments did Jesus teach on in his 3.5 years? Pardon? And what was that? Do unto others. What else did he say? What did he say the commandments were in his teaching?
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy neighbor as thyself.
And what else?
And thy
neighbor as thyself. Yeah. Called the commandment of love. The same commandment that was in heaven. Well, the same principle wasn't a commandment. You can't command love. I like Brian. Like his enthusiasm. Like his attitude. But I can't make him love me. I know it's hard, but I can. You see, you can't command love. When Jesus gave the parable of separating the good from the bad, what did he use as the measuring stick when he separated the people from the good and the bad groups? What did he use as the measuring stick? The Ten Commandments? What did he use?
Did you feed me? Did you clothe me?
How did you treat your fellow man? Why would that be important?
He said, I want...
Pardon?
He said, I want compassion, not sacrifice.
Okay, absolutely. Why would it be important that in the judgment, according to Jesus, and as he separated the two groups, that the only qualifier was, how did you treat your fellow man? Why is that important?
Because that's the only thing that's going to last for eternity.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only way heaven could be saved.
Okay. All right. That's good. How else? Why would that be important?
It covers all the Ten Commandments, all of the moral law.
Okay. And how does that cover it? That is correct, but how does it cover it?
Okay. You have love, everything else just comes automatically.
Okay. How does that help break down the commandments? Where do you get the power to love your fellow man? From your heart? Try it. Doesn't work. You cannot love the unlovely. But Jesus gives you that power. And that's what the judgment was all about in Jesus. He said, here's the goats, here's the good ones. And the good ones said, what? What? We did what? Everything you ask of us. We kept your law. And Jesus said, I was hungry, and what did you do? You didn't feed me. I was naked, and what did you do? Didn't clothe me. And then they came along and said, what was their defense?
We didn't know it was you.
Didn't know it was you. Oh, if it was you, we'd have kissed up. If we knew it was you, we would have gone through the motions. If we knew it was you, well, certainly we would give you our coat. That's what the law does. The law focuses on you and your behavior if the law is the center of what your life. It all becomes about you. Thus, I think the quarterly wrongly is saying, so you get to rejoice today. I didn't kill anybody. Whoop-de-doo. I didn't do this. Whoop-de-doo. I showed up at Sabbath school. Even though they tried to move it to a different place and hope I didn't find it, I found it and I showed up. Whoop-de-doo. You see, that's what the law does. The law's between you and what you do. Yes.
The law was never written in the Garden of Eden.
Oh, absolutely not.
And so, you know, if we're to think that we're going to return to a perfect stage in heaven, then really sin, the only reason that the law came about is because sin came about.
Yeah. Yeah. And on Mount Sinai, when God gave the law to Moses, as Rob has pointed out many times, actually showed them what they were going to become like. The angels were even amazed that there was a need for law. Because nobody laid the law down to the angels and said, you've got to love God. When you have that relationship, that seems sad. You have a great relationship with Abby, your granddaughter, right? Where did the law say that she had to love her and love you and you had to love her? Was none. The relationship took care of it. And that's exactly what was in heaven. The relationship between the angels and God, there was no need for a law. Especially the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Yes, angel 542nd. What's killing? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Yes, angel 7432. With who? There was no law in heaven like that. God poured out His love. The angels took it, dwelt on it, loved it, and they returned their love, just like Sandra and Abby's relationship. Need a law to say you got to love your grandkid? Comes about naturally. Now, the interesting thing in Jesus' parable on the righteous and the judgment, He said to these good people, I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was in jail and you came to see me. What was their response? This is absolutely critical. What was their response? Pardon? Well, we never did this to you. You see, they didn't need a law to tell them. Because when you have that relationship with Christ and you look at your fellow brother who's thirsty, you'll give him drink. It becomes natural. Because you have within you God working. And it become natural that you do it because the love of God into you, you transform that love to other people. And you don't even realize what you're doing until God comes along and says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And you say, Lord, I never did this to you. You see, when you look at the law, and you're struggling with the law, and you're going to keep the law, and you're going to do what's right, where you get where you get to the point and say, well, if it was you, I would have done it. Not to this Gentile. Why? Because a Gentile breaks the law, and what do I do as a Jew? I keep the law. So therefore, I have to be better. That's what the law does. And if we're not careful as Seventh-day Adventists, we go around preaching. What do we preach? What do we have that no other church has? What do we call it? Starts with a T.
The truth.
The truth. And we wonder why the religious world thinks we're arrogant. Read Galatians 4:1. I got 9 minutes.
Galatians 4:1, King James Version. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all.
Okay, let's stop there. How many of you, and if you didn't, just raise your hand anyway, brushed your teeth this morning? How many of you went out and played in the traffic on I-35 this morning? Why? Why?
Because I didn't brush my teeth.
What did your mother tell you, Mill, when you were a young boy about brushing your teeth? Huh?
Just don't mean to do it.
Did she tell you this morning, Roger, to brush your teeth?
No. She's still with me, but
no, that's right. That's why I asked. Why?
Because at this point, it's up to me whether I brush my teeth or not.
And why did you brush them?
Because I want to have them stay with me as long as I'm living.
That's the principle of law and faith. I lived on a busy street, Montana Street in El Paso. One day I was about 5-6 years old, and I saw some girl hitchhiking. And cars were honking at her and everything. Well, I didn't know what she was doing, but it sure seemed kind of fun. So I go out, side of the street in Montana there, front of Pershing on the Montana, and I stick my thumb out. Kind of seemed like a thing to do. How long do you think it took my daddy to come running? See? And he told me under certain terms not to do that. Now, I didn't go out and play on I-35 or I-820 this morning in the traffic. Why? Because my daddy told me not to 67 years ago. I brushed my teeth this morning. Why? Because my daddy told me 67 years ago, brush my teeth? No. I do it because it makes good sense. That's what Paul's talking about the law. When we're infants, we need a prisoner. We need a locked up. We need a guardian. We need something to protect us. But God says, I don't want you to remain infants the rest of your life. Because my folks said, brush your teeth, went and got braces for me, because they wanted to protect my teeth, my mouth, till I got old enough where I began to understand it makes good sense and I do it on my own. Not because they commanded me to do it. I don't play in the freeway because it makes good sense. Not because my daddy has to call me every morning if he was alive and say, don't play in traffic. God does not need to call us through His law every morning and say, thou shalt not kill. Oh, okay, I got my marching orders for today. The Pedagogos brought the student to the school, and the school taught the student. The school showed them what the truth was. And as an infant, the Pedagogos took him back home. But when the kid got old enough to go to the school on his own, the servant no longer had a function. And that's the law that Paul's talking about, all law. There comes a time when we have to have the law to get our attention, to help guide us. Just think, there was over 1 million people, probably 2 million in the desert, and God had to stand up before these ignorant slaves who had been in idolatry and say, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt honor your mother and your father. How basic can you get? And we've taken that law and we've centered around that law. We say, yes, we're saved by faith, but boy, that law's got a part. Yes, we are saved by faith, but you got to keep the Sabbath. Yes, we are saved by faith, but you better do this. And Paul's saying, don't you get the picture? Christ came and went to Calvary to show you that if you choose death, if you choose a sinful life, this is what's going to be happening when you separate yourself from God. We as Seventh-day Adventists have a tremendous message, but we code it in words that does not get through to show the character of God. And we say, well, you must do this. Just as the Jews came along and said, oh, you're a Christian now? You're a Gentile and you accept Christ? Well, sure would be nice if you were circumcised. We feel a little bit better about you. We are not infants. Now, Paul says, does this do away with law? Absolutely not. But what's your focus? The Ten Commandments on the wall that you look at every day and say, nah, I'm not going to kill a human being today? Or is it Jesus Christ on the wall that you look at and say, another day and another relationship with you. I give you my heart. Come into my heart, Lord. Let's talk. Let's fellowship. Let's walk together. And as you do that, well, you'll get to the point where it wouldn't cross your mind to hurt your brother at all. And it certainly won't cross your mind to have some other God than the one that walks with you. You stumble, you fall, and He reaches down and picks you up and dusts you off. Say, come on, let's keep going. You're not going to go talk to any other God. And my goodness, no wonder you'll want to do the best for your parents. You're not going to be envious of anybody. Because your friend is Jesus. And He's working in your life. And you become every day more and more like Him. And by the way, Charles, as you're out there working hard, certainly you'll look forward to the Sabbath. Not only to get your 3-hour nap that you keep denying, but that you will enjoy Sabbath school with your friends, time with your grandchildren, time with Kay, time with your family. You'll enjoy that. Because God thought so much of you a long time ago that He gave you that day. So let's sum it up. As Adventists, we feel very secure to say it's the ceremonial law that was done away with in Galatians, but it's not the moral. When we say that, I believe that we lose all concept of what Paul is saying, because Paul is saying all law is a guardian. All law is a slave that brings us to Jesus. And when we come to Jesus as our schoolmaster, there comes a time when we don't need the law, because the principles of all law becomes part of our life through the power that Jesus Christ gives us. So no wonder He said in the judgment, what a great time to tie down the seventh-day Sabbath for all time. If Jesus would have just said at the judgment where He separated the wheat and the tares, you kept the seventh day Sabbath and you didn't. Wow, what a testimony for all time. But He didn't do that. He simply said, what did you do for your brother? Think about that. Because our faith and relationship in Jesus Christ enhances the principles of the law but it comes through God, not our doing. Father in heaven, so thankful for this class, and especially today that we can discuss this very important topic. Help each one of us know that you love us, that you care for us, and that your greatest desire is for us to spend eternity in heaven. Help us to keep our eyes fixed upon you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.